The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this second day of March 2018. Atrax, is this a name in Wyoming?
What's up, John?
How you doing?
Good evening to you. I don't want to jump the subject too much that you're on because the deep state's really important, but with the story you opened with about the ATTATs and Cheyenne passing the no tax on the precious metal stuff.
Right.
This same week, they gutted the provisions in the Stand Your Ground bill. So if you have your legally owned firearm and someone comes in to seize or steal your tax-free gold or silver and you shoot them in your house, there's no more legal protections than that, and the state can still come and press charges against you. They just did that this week.
Well,
so I just wanted to throw that out for you. If you want to read more about that, it's in the Casper Star Tribune. The headline is, despite warning from NRA, Wyoming Senate guts immunity provision and Stand Your Ground bill.
Can you do me a favor? Can you get that over to us?
Do you want me to send it to the website?
No, send it to Mike. Which one do you want it sent at? BoardOp at republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, will do.
All righty. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
All right. Yeah, the asshats never sleep. Good thing happens, bad thing happens. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark. If you're muted, unmute yourself. Mm-hmm. There you are.
There you are.
Yep.
All right. So much for that hand-free device. Hello, can you hear me now?
Can hear you now.
Ah, okay. I was using a hardwired hands-free device. I thought that would have worked. Anyway, I was just wondering, is it anti-Semitic to make a ham sandwich with a Jewish rye bread?
Oh, my God, I never thought about it. Do we have to use kosher mustard on it, or can we use just regular mustard? I mean, I think that'll make a difference because that's a little buffer between the ham and the rye there, or the Jewish
maybe
bread.
So.
Yeah.
I was just doing a little research. I found out that the word anti-Semitic was first used in 1880. And to me, it's a hypothesis because I don't have any proof at this point. But I get the impression that term was coined by Zionists.
It was.
To make what they do evil, stupid, disgusting things and call themselves Jewish, like the Bolsheviks, mm-hmm. who were quote-unquote Jewish, mm-hmm. which to me, Jewish means you hold to a moral standard, and they don't. So they bring bad reputation to Judaism by claiming to be Jews, and then they call us anti-Semitic. We're saying this criminal element is doing stupid, evil things. And I'm like, wait a minute. All I'm doing is saying here's this criminal element, and I'm not making a broad-brush accusation against all Jews. I don't blame this generation of Jews for killing Christ. There is a concern that those that persist in rejecting Christ, but... You know, it's not like God's going to ask my advice as to who's getting into heaven and who's not. You know, I'm entitled to my opinion just like you to yours, right?
But Mark, there was a little thing called the diaspora. It's recorded. God was really angry with the Jews and spread them to the four corners of the earth and said, you know what, you're not to have a nation or come together until I send the Messiah. Unfortunately, the Messiah, according to the Christians, has arrived, but the Jews have still latched on to this Judeo-Christendom stuff. And this was started, as you said, back in the 1880s, proceeding, around 1900 when the Zionism effort really kicked off. And, of course, what you're necessarily going to have to do, because you know you're going to be up to no good, is start building that shield against you, the people that are going to criticize you. And in some countries, it is actually a jailable crime to even question the Holocaust numbers. That's how deeply rooted it has become. So,
And that's one of the things that Ahmadinejad, they were interviewing him, why are people going to jail for raising questions?
Exactly.
You say that the Allies came in and brought freedom to do what you're told. Oh, okay. That's a Bill Hicks. You're free to do what you're told.
That's right.
But do you have any resources that show that this term was coined by Zionists? Or, I, like I say, it makes sense is one thing. It sounds reasonable is one thing. Being able to prove it is something else, right?
Well, I'm sure we have many listeners out there. If you have a submission, we'll take it at boardop@republicbroadcasting.org. There have been people that have made it a life study to track down the Zionist thing. So the information's out there. I just don't have it readily at hand to pass on to you.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'll check back with you some other. And I was wondering if you might be interested in publishing some of the things that I'm writing and working on.
Well, I don't know. Is it going to get me thrown off of Twitter and Facebook and YouTube? And I'm so verklempt.
People keep telling me, but they can do this, they can do that. And I was like, look,
that's right.
Understand something. What a lawless, unaccountable government can do to somebody who's doing nobody any harm is not really my concern, because, they can do all kinds of stupid, reckless things. They can kill me for telling the truth, but what can they lawfully do is what my concern is. Obviously I adhere to the speed limit because I don't want to be fined, and I don't want to have points on my driving record that may, if I'm getting a job as a driver that involves driving, it may impair my ability to get a job. It may do things. So, I'm not really going to be bound by, they can do all kinds of stupid, reckless things to me and embarrass themselves in so doing, to, as long as we have some kind of public conscience about what's going on.
Yeah, Mark,
but,
I speed, and the Round Rock Police Department, the way they've got the city set up, that I actually have to break the speed limit by 7 miles an hour to hit the lights. And by their own admission, and listen to this, by their own admission, a cop that investigates accidents, and that's all he does, 7 days, I think the guy does it full-time 5 days a week and then part-time on the weekend, so he's getting some pretty hefty overtime. But the point is that he told me that we have had multiple traffic managers from all over the globe come in and to try to straighten out the traffic problems in Round Rock, and they can't. So I told the cops, I said, look, I said, after 4 o'clock anymore, it's like rush hour in Austin. This is a small town, but it hasn't stopped the growth the way the smart growth people came in and engineered our city. You can't get from point A to point B. It takes you 15, 20 minutes to travel 2 miles in Round Rock, Texas. So I told the cops flat out, I said, I'm going to speed as long as I don't put anybody in harm's way. I don't endanger anybody. I'm going to continue to do that. And oh, by the way, just for a point of interest, I don't use my turn signals, which I'm required by law to do so. But I don't do it because it's a law. I do it because it's a courtesy to my fellow drivers. And I will speed. I have been known to top out at 95, 100 miles an hour, sustain speeds on the highway if the traffic conditions are right. But, of course, I have my little defender on board, a little radar detector. It detects all that stuff, and then I get to slow down before the revenuers ticket me. So I admit to breaking the law, but not endangering other people. Mark, I've got to run. Yeah. I appreciate your call.
All right, God bless you.
Thank
you. All right, later.
All right. Mike in Chicago. Hello, Mike.
Okay. I might have a little bit of noise around me. If I do, I'll call you back. Is that okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me know. Okay, well, You were just talking about, I'm a kind of guy that worked hard 53 years, saved my money, and as it was continuing, things just continued to get more expensive, and then when you find out about...
You mean that, Mike, that noise?
Yeah, why don't I call you back, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Get outside of the range of that noise, and we'll take your call.
All right,
Mike.
I'll go back on hold, and I'll call you back about the Federal Reserve, okay?
Okay, if you're going to go back on hold, okay, that's fine. That'll work.
Could you put me back on hold?
Yeah, we can put... Yeah, we put you on hold, Mike. All right. Why is it I can hear that damn loudspeaker clearer than I can hear him? Morgan in Ontario. Hello, Morgan.
My heart goes out to the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
How you doing?
I hope I don't offend you by calling you sir.
No, I just turned and looked at him to see my long-dead daddy come walking through the door. What's on your mind, Morgan?
I just wanted to call and say hi.
Okay. That's it?
A little bit of the Canadian love coming your way.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I actually just wanted to introduce myself.
Well, welcome aboard. How long have you been listening to the network?
I have been listening to you for a very long time.
And Morgan?
Pretty much about the inception of RBN.
Okay.
Pretty close.
All right. And
I probably missed it by about a year.
Have you been a regular, irregular supporter of this network?
John, if I had the cash, I'd be tossing it your way. I've been living on nickels and dimes.
Wow. The tale that's been told.
You by spreading the word.
Well, that's feet on the floor.
Yes, sir. Damn straight. I'm known as the wise one up here. Or the odd one. But anyway, that's not why I called. I don't want to take up your time. I know you've got a lot of people that love you huge. And anyway, I didn't come in with a particular point. I do know that things are getting pretty hot and heavy. And it's pretty fascinating trying to educate folks, because I know, you know, amongst us, we're all trying to do that to the best of our ability. Is there any... I guess what I really wanted to say was, when you're trying to teach folks, and you know so much, and you know you have to take things one step at a time,
right?
And there actually come a point when you might have to push things a touch heavier.
There are times that if you take advantage of an opportunity, you see a gap, you make a quick move. But there are other times that you have to necessarily be kind of sensitive to the input status of the person, the intended target of your information. In other words...
The psyche can only absorb so much so quickly.
Well, you know? and especially what you're laying on them, Morgan. You know, they'll start to go into overload. It'll contradict how they've been programmed, and they'll get that glazed thousand-yard stare in their eyeballs. And it's not because they're considering...
I know, I do not.
What you're saying. It's that you have just buried their little heads.
Their paradigm's definitely getting put up against the wall and spanked, I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But what I'm really wondering is, there may come a point where we may have to redline people. Otherwise, we've either got this way, it's either going to go that way if we stay gentle with, you know, knowledge, or there may come a point where, I mean, look at all the powers that are around us. I know you're a man that is greatly knowledgeable. I'm also known as a man that's also greatly knowledgeable.
Okay, well, I don't know about either claim, Morgan, but go ahead.
Oh, please.
If you've been listening to me since the inception of this network,
you know.
Okay, pull him down, because he's doing the number one no-no from a guy that says that he's not, doesn't have anything to say. He's saying it on top of me. Morgan, if you've been listening to me for all these years, you know I don't cotton too much to that kind of adulation. I just don't. The one guy that would be Alex Jones. Okay, you can go pet his whatever. But that's not necessary here, Morgan, okay? Please.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. When it gets to public speaking, I'm one of those guys that's a little bit, you know, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come off that way.
That's fine. But Morgan, I thank you for the donation you're sending over. I got a lot of information.
Oh, indeed.
I got a lot of information here to cover, so I need to get on with this.
I will be back in touch when the opportunity arises.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
It's been very nice to say good evening to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Morgan. I appreciate it. Yeah, folks, I don't do too well with the adulation and, you know, you're the greatest. I just do what I do. I'm good at what I do. But I have to do this. This is in service to my country, to my fellow Americans. And I wouldn't waste a whole lot of time trying to redline people that don't want to hear you, because it only makes the situation worse. It spins your motor up to a degree, and it shuts them down. Cast your seeds and water them on more fertile ground, I would say. At this point in time, go for the maximum amount of people that are willing to listen to you. But do me a favor, I will say this again. Engaging people in conversation, let them speak to find out what their concerns are, and feed into their knowledge base on that. You will capture their attention. You will get what you're after, an audience with them. But you don't have to walk around like you're some kind of know-it-all trying to shove it down their throat. Let them think that it was their idea. By the way, I have an announcement here. IWantFreePower.com. Now, Tom has added a phone number block to the website. And folks, he's signed up 11 people, and we already have one person that is now a consultant. Called in yesterday. And he's got 200 emails he's got to go through. This is going to be a big thing. Run by patriots, for patriots, supporting patriotic things. Wow. It's ours. I love it. You can save money on your electricity bill. If you want to become a consultant, you can actually make a living off of saving other people money. What a deal. You know, the best salesmen I've met in the world really don't have to sell that hard, their product, because the product basically sells itself. Well, this does by way of, I'm going to save you money. I know there's a lot of people who've made that claim, but in this particular case, it happens to be true. Wow. So do yourself a favor. I want you to bookmark this on your computer, iwantfreepower.com. And up there is, and by the way, it is important notice it's also been added, your privacy is our most vital goal. We will not reveal or use your info except for the RBN network. And if you want a personal call back, you must include your phone number, your state, and the best time to call you. And listed here is the upcoming events. They're going to do this once a week. The next one is March 5th, which is what, Monday? March 19th, March 26th, and all these are at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so go to the website. All the information is there, how, by what phone, landline, computer, it doesn't matter. All that information is posted up there. But if you want immediate action on this, there's a name block, email, message, and phone number. And all you have to do is hit the send button. Tom told me, he says, look, he said, you got one consultant, 11 people already on board. You're halfway to eliminating your electric bill. And he says, I have 200 emails and yet to answer. So both Kevin and Tom are working on this. And they're asking you to please be patient. They're going to get to every one of your inquiries. Okay? If you don't get an inquiry response within 24 hours, don't email it again. Give them time. And they're working this, I was told, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Okay? So they'll get to you. Do not panic. But include your phone number. We don't give that phone number to anybody else. And if you've noticed, folks, we don't even use the people that have listened to this network or donated to this network. We don't even use our own mailing list to hawk products or services to you. Have you noticed that? Now, some people told me you're nuts for... Look, Republic Broadcasting Network is like no other network. And we're not going to follow the same patterns as other networks have done. If there is something that we have that people have an interest in, they call us. We don't call you. You call us. Boy, what a marketing plan that is. That's anti-marketing. But that's the way we do things, because we don't want to be a pain in the butt to you. We just want to do what we do on a daily basis.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
That's The Fix. Do you know how old that is? I saw them in Pine Knob decades ago. By the way, there was another story I wanted to get around to. iHeartRadio. Oh, you remember that used to be Clear Channel? Remember me telling you they were $20 billion in a hole? And how many years ago was that? Well, guess what? They're still $20 billion in a hole, and they might have to file bankruptcy by this weekend. Small network? No. They've got over 880 stations, and it's going belly up. Folks, your hard-earned Federal Reserve notes out there supporting this network, you're going to make sure that this network stays online. You know, I was just thinking about this during the break. You know, we keep serving up the hot and nasty to you every day. I know it's stinky and sometimes it's hard to take, but that's our job. We're the aggregate for the news. We pick this stuff apart and present it to you in an understandable fashion. Not Orwellian doublespeak. We keep you informed and we're hard at it every single day. Help us do our job. Call 800-724-2719. Punch that extension 3. Talk to Mikey. Make a donation. And you know what? While you're talking to them, you can say, you know, I'm going to give you a one-time donation now, but you know what? sign me up for $50 or $100 a month if you can see your way clear. Oh, and by the way, with the electricity that you're going to be saving on your bill, you might want to earmark that for Republic Broadcasting. Or maybe just pay your internet so you can continue to listening to the network. Mike in Chicago, are we in a quiet environment now?
Yeah, it's quiet now. So we were saying about, like, you know, I work all my life, and, you know, this is hard work. I mean, it's not a banker's job or, you know, pushing papers around and or whatever. But the idea is that we work our whole lives, and things are getting, you know, the money, because it's cheap, because interest rates have been low for so long that it costs more, which, you know, for goods and services, and the currency itself loses its value. And so the example was that you work 53 years and you save your money, and now when you look at the $21 trillion that we owe, and that's not counting the other liabilities, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and when you look at that, you come out to the conclusion that all my whole life, all my savings that I have, and everybody should have, but they don't have. Like, say I got $100,000. That's the number that everybody owes now for the debt that, you know, we weren't responsible for creating. And all of a sudden, Bitcoin came around, you know, and there was some hope there that maybe, you know, we could be our own bank, and maybe we can, you know, have a key that no federal government can steal from us, and we could keep this key in cold storage, perhaps, you know, on our flash drive. And then Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan comes around and says that, you know, Bitcoin is a fraud and all this other stuff. Well, what about what I've been just trying to tell you about, about the U.S. dollar?
Well, and Mike, a lot of people don't even get this, and they don't understand. They have been fed this word inflation as to expect it, like they do the seasons. Or when it rains, if they're out in it, they're going to get wet. That's how natural a course this is. And what they don't understand is the value of the dollar keeps losing its value. And ergo, it takes you more of those reduced valued notes to buy the same product or service. You know, for producing a car, is it actually that much different in cost, say, in 1920 as it is in 2018? No, not really. I mean, there's been technological advancements and materials and better ways of doing things. Yeah, manufacturers are always looking for a way to shave a penny here or there to increase their bottom line. But the old saying that you know, if you want a couple of nice suits of clothes, that same ounce of gold would buy you back then, what would buy you now? And that's just keeping up for that inflation rate. But having said that, if they would not keep suppressing the price of gold and silver, and like the J.P. Morgans of this planet, isn't it ironic that he says, you know, Bitcoin's a cheat? No, they're the biggest cheaters. They're the original biggest cheaters. And they don't like competition. But Bitcoin itself is not backed by anything except from the other people that keep buying the stuff. It has no basis in reality or value. It's, again, it's just perceived. Mike,
right. Could I mention?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could say that its value, okay, comes from the mere fact that the Federal Reserve. And
okay, hold on. You're dragging me into break, Mike. Hang on a second.
I'm sorry.
Hang on.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Mike in Chicago, we got interrupted by that crass commercialism. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the idea of gold as a fact, a current, you know, backing the reserve currency, you know, was kept the lenders in check to where they weren't able to borrow these massive amounts of money. And I don't know. I think the American people, they don't want to think about it. I mean, it might just be a denial. And you know, it might even be something on the order of, well, I don't care because I owe so much money and I'm just going to go to my grave. And that, you know what? A lot of people go to their grave. I think there's an average, I don't know the age, but like $60,000 in debt. You know, I mean, so maybe they just figure, you know, but that's just no way to have an honest setup, you know.
Well, Mike, I've said this many times. An honest money system keeps the thieves out. And an honest money system precludes the government from going into debt by borrowing. Because it just ain't available. Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. I got to keep moving, my friend. I thank you for.
I know. Okay, we'll talk again because this is we're going to have to go to something else because this debt is going to explode. Because interest rates are moving higher on the treasuries. You know what I mean? So we'll talk again, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mike. Hang in there, Vic in New Mexico. Hello, Vic.
Hey, John. Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I think you might remember me from a long time ago. When you was on another station. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, you think my memory stretches back that far?
Are you that old or are you younger than I am?
A lot of water under the bridge. Go ahead.
Tell about, okay.
Yeah.
Now then, as I was asking about the Jew thing, let's go back in the Bible. Well, Rebecca's complaining about these two babies that are in her stomach. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Of Isaac's two sons. One is Jacob Israel. And
oh,
the
yeah,
okay.
Is okay.
Esau Edom.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now then, this is who we are dealing with, Esau Edom, today. Now, here's the funny part. 800 A.D., they went and acquired the Masoretic Bible text. And they rewrote the thing. And sold the brochures to my distant cousin called King James. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people, they put a lot of stuff in there that don't really belong in there.
Well, and Vic, you've heard my take on this. There's a lot of people that are willing to slather and to fill in the gaps with anything that they can think of or imagine, which doesn't make for easier understanding. The only thing that it does is it compounds the confusion. That's all that it does.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But what's really funny, the Orthodox Jew admits it. That's the truth. Yeah, that's the funny part. Even though my cousins, my ancestors, financed for their cousin, King James, the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Now, if they only knew that that bill of yours was bogus, and the Bible should have been from the Septuagint. But that's, man, what, how long ago? I got 1611. And everybody's been brainwashed with this hypnosis from the book. And I mean, they do put hypnotic terms in there to brainwash people by. You know what I'm saying? That makes a lot of sense, don't it?
Yeah, it does. All right, well, Vic, I appreciate your contribution here.
There's a friend of mine who needs the help. You probably know him. Pastor Butch Paul.
Yeah.
You know him?
Yes, I do.
Yep. I signed him up for that as well.
For what?
For the free power.
Well, maybe we can make him a believer. I've invited him on to come on this network, and he has chosen to stay where he's at, so maybe this will be a little inducement for him to cross the Rubicon. All right. Well, Vic, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your call. By the way, you might want to call into Rick Adams with that. he could snap to that real quick. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. I came in late, so I don't know if you got to that story you posted on your website, republicbroadcasting.org. Everybody go over there and click it. It's called Here Is What It Has Come Down To.
Yep.
About House Bill 5087.
I posted that today, and that's my little description there.
That is paramount for everybody right now. And the reason I say that, they've had a lot of bills come through where they're trying to curtail guns or grab guns.
Uh-huh.
But this one was written by somebody that actually knows guns. And I can tell you that because they talk about the semi-automatic pistol. And I'm just going to read a quick thing. The term semi-automatic pistol means any repeating pistol that utilizes a portion of the energy of a firing cartridge to extract the fired cartridge case and chamber the next round, and requires a separate pull of the trigger for each cartridge.
Yep.
That's a big deal. They got a gun guy to write this bill.
That is exactly right, because what was almost laughable, and when they would even talk about, we want to go grab the guns, they couldn't even give you an accurate description of what the gun really was. So, yeah.
Well, exactly, and that DeGette broad who is in Colorado who's signed up on this. She's the one who said once you fire a magazine, the magazine's done. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the real deal. This is a serious thing. And if this goes anywhere, we're in trouble.
Well, and they're going to keep pushing it. They latched on to the Florida shooting. That's their springboard, and you've seen what activity has come out of that. And all this stuff was ready to plug and play, my friend.
Yeah, so for the people that don't have guns who are listening they go read this, check into it, of course, support RBN, click a link while you're on the website. But this is they're not kidding around anymore. This is serious.
That is exactly right. And I appreciate you pointing that out, Mike.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
Okay. Jerry in Chicago. Hello, Jerry.
Good evening, John. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, thank you. You touched on something in the first hour about the voting machines being the same thing as the ATM, and I don't use the ATM all that often. And when I do, I go right to my bank so I don't get a surcharge. And I happen to look right at the machine, and it said Diebold right on there.
Yep.
Yep, and that's the first time I've really ever noticed it. Like I say, I don't use it that often.
Yeah.
But, what I wanted to call about was, we vote for, whether it be a mayor, congressman, a senator, a president. But what we're not voting for is their appointments.
You got that right. And if you let me ask you this real quick, Jerry, if you would have known that Donald Trump was going to make the appointments, and I'm not going to ask whether you voted or not in this election because, quite frankly, it's none of my business. But if you would have known the appointments and the people that he was going to bring under the wing in the wing of the White House, would you have voted for him?
I wouldn't have voted, period.
Yeah.
With knowing that, I wouldn't have voted, period. And I'll give you a little story about the little town that I live in, just across the street from Chicago. Voted for a mayor years ago, and he graduated with some sisters of mine that are older than me. So I figured he was a good guy. He appointed the chief of police. Well, the FBI came in, and they took all the computers out of the police department, and they brought him up on charges, and they slapped him on the back of the hand because he had a gambling problem, both him and his wife. So that's all I know about it. But, I mean, if the mayor appointed this guy, how good is the mayor?
Rahm Emanuel with what? What's he got in Chicago, 20% approval rating?
If that. And I'll tell you what, I work in the Chicago Public Schools. I was there today. Sodesco Magic and Aramark, private contractors, taking over all of the engineering and everything else like that. I have friends that are engineers in CPS. I have other friends that are working the cooking staff, a few teachers, and they are all complaining about how bad it is. And the schools are filthy.
They're out of money. I just saw a thing on One America News today. He was doing a press conference inviting people in. You've got sanctuary. Come on in. Yeah, these midterm elections in Pennsylvania, they've got 100,000 what I would consider to be illegal aliens are going to be voting in the midterm elections. 100,000 in Pennsylvania alone. This clown is doing the recruitment for illegals to come into Chicago to get their voting permission. Without being citizens of this country, that unto itself, my friend, should be enough to bounce Rahm Emanuel over Lake Erie or Lake Michigan like a stone.
Well, it's got to get worse before it gets better. And with that, can you have Mike take me down? I can give a small donation today.
Jerry, I'd appreciate that very much. Let me make sure that Jerry in Chicago, put him on hold. Put Jerry in Chicago on hold right now. Put him on hold. Press the button. He wants to give you a donation. All right. Now, do you have that clip ready to go? Or do you want me to do it on my side, Mike? My side? Do you have it up or no? You do? Okay. You're on the phone. You're trying to talk. You're chewing something and then communicating with me. Okay. Man of many hats. But I don't think chewing has anything to do with it. Here is the shocking similarities between the shootings at Fort Lauderdale Airport and Parkland High School. Same police, same stand down, same sheriff. And the person that did this is telling you that, you know what? They're trying to pull me off of YouTube. But she has...
Welcome back to the Truth Factory. Well, let me start this video off by saying that there's a huge push by YouTube and the mainstream media to censor creators like myself. Multiple YouTubers in this community right now, including myself, are receiving strikes and having their channels shut down for innocuous reasons. Because of that, unfortunately, I will have to be careful of what I say in this video and how I phrase my words about this topic. So you, as my wonderful, intelligent audience, will just have to read between the lines carefully. So let's talk about the Broward County mass shooting. The one that happened over a year ago. On January 6, 2017, in Broward County, a former National Guard member named Esteban Santiago Ruiz shot up the Fort Lauderdale Airport, killing five people. Again, the police did not shoot back. They waited until the suspect ran out of bullets to arrest him. 2 months prior to this mass shooting, Esteban went to the FBI and reported that the U.S. government was controlling his mind and that the CIA was forcing him to join ISIS. He said that he was hearing voices telling him to commit acts of violence. Yet even with the FBI knowing that information, Santiago was able to get a one-way airline ticket from Alaska to Broward County with a handgun and ammunition in his checked luggage.
The gun was taken away from him, but it was given back after he was cleared.
A question put to the Broward County Sheriff, Scott Israel.
Do you think he should have had that gun?
Well, no.
According to ABC News, the FBI stated that he appeared to have arrived in the city specifically to carry out the shooting. Investigators found no reason why he chose that specific airport, nor had they determined a motive after the shooting. But Santiago again told FBI agents that he acted under government mind control.
Esteban Santiago appeared in a Miami federal courtroom earlier today. He faces 22 federal charges and has pleaded not guilty.
After the airport shooting, Sheriff Scott Israel met with Broward County Representative none other than Debbie Wasserman Schultz to advocate for stricter gun control for more funding to prevent future mass shootings in Broward County, stating, "Whatever we need to make Broward County safe, I'll be asking for that money soon." Fast forward to February 14th, 2018, when Nicholas Cruz, a 19-year-old with autism, ADHD, and other known behavioral problems, opens fire in Stoneman Douglas High School, killing 17 people. This couldn't have been that surprising to the Broward County Sheriff's Department, as the police had previously responded to at least 45 emergency calls about this former Parkland student over a seven-year period. Cruz was a repeat customer for them. The FBI also received various tips about Cruz, such as him writing a comment on a YouTube channel using his full name stating, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter," as well as a woman who called an FBI tip line in early January to describe a young man with an arsenal of knives and guns who was going to explode. She said she feared him getting into a school and just shooting the place up. And that's exactly what happened. Yet according to an eyewitness, she saw someone in full metal garb.
And then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway, actively shooting down the hallway, just a barrage of bullets. And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor, shooting this rifle that I've never seen before.
But if he were wearing this, then the police timeline is off. The police maintain that the suspect, Nicholas Cruz, arrived via Uber at 2:19 p.m. and initiated his attack within 1 minute. How does the purported shooter exit his Uber ride, put on full body armor, helmet, assemble his rifle, load it, and start firing at targets within 2 minutes? He's either RoboCop or the police are lying to save face. Also, strangely, as the Chicago Tribune reported, one of the students was wearing a bulletproof vest that day, given to him by his policeman father. Even in the safest city in Florida, that student brought that vest to school with him that day, just in case. What are the odds? The shooter shot for 5 minutes and then just laid his gun down, calmly walked out of the school, walked to a Subway and bought a soda, walked to a McDonald's, sat for a while, and then just walked down the street aimlessly, almost as if he were in a dissociative state. Nicholas Cruz said that demonic voices told him to commit these crimes, very much like the Fort Lauderdale airport shooter. At the time of the shooting, Cruz was staying with a friend whose father was on the school board and also a former electronic warfare signal analyst with national top security clearance named James Sneed, who claims he saw no warning signs in Nicholas.
Now, let me stop here. I want you to pay close attention to what they say about him being depressed. Now, what this interviewer did not ask, did you have him on antidepressants? Dissociative state? A shooter shows up? By the way, there were teachers that were told that this is going to be an operation at that school and they'd be using blanks. This is a total setup and a scam. Let's continue.
Were there any signs of trouble beyond his depression?
No. We had him on a positive path and, you know, and trying to heal, and he just blew it. I mean, just
floored us. We had no idea.
Absolutely floored.
No idea.
I suppose hindsight is 20/20, but I would call 45 emergency calls to the police a pretty good warning sign.
911 emergency.
Hi. I was just assaulted now. Someone attacked me. And they say they were going to gut me. I came back. Yeah.
And what happened there? Tell me, like, what happened?
I kind of got mad, and I started punching walls and stuff. And then a kid came at me and threw me on the ground. And he started attacking me, and he kicked me out of the house. And he was going to gut me. Yeah. So the thing is, I lost my mother a couple of weeks ago. So, like, I'm dealing with a bunch of things right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to send a deputy to you. They should be there shortly. All right.
How much more of a warning could the police possibly need that Cruz was a danger to this community?
Do you think that if the Broward Sheriff's Office had done things differently, this shooting might not have happened?
Hey, listen, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, O.J. Simpson would still be in the record books.
I don't know what that means. There's 17 dead people, and there's a whole long list of things your department could have done differently.
If the FBI is ignoring over 3 dozen serious complaints and concerns, they are almost asking for something like this to happen. And I believe that there may be a connection between this and the 37% decrease in juvenile arrests since 2012 when Sheriff Israel took over. Now, those numbers are not because kids magically became well-behaved and stopped committing crimes. Is because the Broward County Sheriff's Office and the Broward County Public Schools signed a collaborative agreement on school discipline linked to a Department of Juvenile Justice program. This contract outlined that the police will give out civil citations for misdemeanors rather than arresting youth in order to keep incarceration numbers down, which led to them getting more government funding.
Wow.
And that the school principals would be the primary source of intervention and disciplinary consequences for these misbehaving students rather than the police. Basically, this was a legal loophole that the sheriff's office and the public school used to make their numbers look better to get more government funding by choosing to give juveniles a slap on the wrist rather than to arrest them.
The sheriff says video shows the deputy doing nothing for more than 4 minutes while the bullets flew inside. The shooting lasted about 6 minutes. And new information tonight that Peterson wasn't the only sheriff's deputy who failed to act. Now, Coral Springs police sources tell CNN that 3 other Broward County sheriff's deputies also remained outside, pistols drawn, but hiding behind their vehicles. It's unclear if the shooter was still there when they arrived, but not one of them had gone into the school. It was the Coral Springs officers who were the first to go in. Meanwhile, during the shooting, another key misstep. Turns out the surveillance video security teams were watching in hopes of locating the 19-year-old gunman in the school had been rewound.
This gives us 2 options. Either those officers were too cowardly to do their jobs, or they were told to stand down. unlike the Coral Springs police officers who bravely did their jobs that day. Sheriff Israel knew that his deputies failed to act during this crisis, yet he still went on the CNN-sponsored event to blame the NRA and to advocate for further gun control.
We've talked about the Broward Sheriff's Office and some of the local agencies and the FBI getting tips and what have you. America, there's one person responsible for this act. That's the detestable, violent killer. He is responsible for this act. Bump stocks should be illegal. They should be outlawed forever. Automatic rifles should be outlawed forever. And anybody who says different, I don't know about other people, but Emma and I, we're calling BS on that. So
that's beyond dishonest, and it's almost sociopathic. And it does not give me confidence in the motivations of these officers. It does not paint a great defense against corruption in Broward County. It shows that CNN and Sheriff Israel are taking advantage of the shooting to push their political agenda, and it's incredibly transparent, just like it was after the Fort Lauderdale shooting. When a tragedy happens, everyone looks for someone to blame. I get that. I totally understand that. I am the same way. If you want to blame someone for the February 14th tragedy, blame the monster who pulled the trigger, not the trigger itself. Blame the FBI who didn't take his threats seriously. Blame the school board for not doing more to prevent this. Blame the armed deputies who hid behind their cars while students were shot and killed. Blame the rig system that failed everyone, but do not blame things that had nothing to do with the shooting, like video games, bump stocks, the NRA, the Second Amendment, and Marco Rubio. Trying to pin the shooting on the NRA or Rubio is far crazier than any conspiracy that I or Alex Jones could ever dream of. And if you want to talk about banning weapons, Nicholas Cruz was the weapon. He wanted to hurt people, and it wouldn't have mattered if you took his guns away. As we know, people with motives will always find a way to hurt others with any tools available. And if you think that you don't need a gun because law enforcement is going to protect you, this very story shuts that narrative down. Look no further than the cowardice and weakness of the Broward County Sheriff's Department, where a 5'7", 120-pound kid with a rifle was too much for four armed officers to handle. This is exactly why responsible, brave citizens should own guns. Because in an emergency situation, you cannot always rely on a law enforcement officer to be there when you need them to. Like when a former NRA instructor armed with an AR-15 was able to take down the Texas church shooter long before law enforcement arrived, potentially saving many lives. I just don't see how banning bump stocks or raising the legal age of purchase is going to change anything if we don't fix the broken system first.
And that'll do it for us this Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, the shooter down there may or may not have been the shooter. He might have been the patsy. Or the Broward County cowards that didn't go in might have been told that this is just an exercise. Don't enter the school. Just look like you're trying to do something. Or there was an actual shooting going on and they were just cowardly. Take your pick, doesn't matter. But look at the springboard that they're using and starting to get traction off of this school shooting. Not now, not ever, folks. Second Amendment stays in place. Just wants to make me go out and buy magazine drums instead of 20 or 30 round clips. See you Monday.
Worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.